can endure some of it now.
Yes,
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
You know we're sitting together with him in heaven waiting.
Yes.
What is it? But we can enjoy it now. Amen.
Yes.
Come on, brother. Get it your word with it.
Good to be in this house and good to be back with the Lighthouse Children's Home. We had them up in Georgiana several times and we're always blessed. And Brother Billy, I'll tell this on him, first time I ever met him. I used to listen to him on Sunday afternoon on WVOB, wasn't it, brother? We'd listen back in the early 90s. And I didn't know the brother at that time, but I know he just, whatever he said, it just flowed, seemed like it was right from heaven. And then we was in Bryson City up on the mountain one night with the Inspirations, and somebody had spoken and said that was Brother Billy. And so I went over and we spoke there at the concessions, and he was testifying then. This was back many years ago. He was testifying about the girls.
Yes.
And what God was doing, and I'll never forget this. I was watching him a while ago. He almost done it again. He'd pull him glasses off. Catch him old big ones. God was blessing them, just talking about what the Lord was doing.
Amen.
And so those heavenly waterworks,
yes,
it's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
We appreciate the work God's giving. Thank God for you, brother, and I know these young ladies do. And we're going to talk about some things this morning. Brother Ike asked me to speak, and I was praying about what maybe the Lord would have a say, and I don't want to be long because I know time is of the essence, but we do want to obey God, Brother Buford, and see a few things in the Word that maybe the Lord would say, and something that would edify. I was praying about something that edify these young ladies. You know, Proverbs 31 talks much about the virtuous woman who can find. Her price is far above rubies.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right? And so, but we do find some in the Word of God, and I believe the Lord have us look at some of these and encourage, you know, not only these young ladies, but I've got a young lady back there, and a little niece and my son. And you know, I watch these young people whenever these young ladies are ministering these little kids. Boy, they're zoned in. They tuned in, ain't they? And they're gleaning from what God's doing in y'all's lives, and you're ministering. You're ministering to them. Exodus chapter 3. I want you to see a couple things today. I think the Lord have us look at. And, you know, what does it take to be used of the Lord? Of course, all the songs that they've been singing have spoke to this, the marvelous grace and God's great big hand. I'm glad the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. God can and will, and that we rejoice in that. But what does it take to be used of the Lord? I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about, can God use me? And so many of you were like I was when the Lord saved me. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know nothing about grace, knew nothing about doctrine, none of those things. It's all brand new to me.
Yep.
But you know, it's he that hath a willing heart. Isn't that what David said?
Yep.
He that hath a willing heart. And who then is willing? Remember when they were bringing for the tabernacle? In 1 Chronicles 29, David said, who then is willing? And let him give and give it with a willing heart. And so willing people God will use. We much as preached about the young lad that brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Right.
And how God blessed him mightily. I believe he had praise to tell when he got back to the house, don't you?
Right.
Mama, you won't believe whatever happened.
Yeah.
And so here we talk about these just young people wanting to be in the middle of God's will.
Yeah.
And the big part of that is having a listening ear. And so he that hath an ear, let him hear. And so this Jesus dealt with this much throughout the Word. But I want you to see this young lady by the name of Miriam. We talk much about Miriam oftentimes and the things that came to pass in her life. But in Moses' life, there were some very important events that happened. Matter of fact, we talk about the young people. And we see this, how God protects the young. We watch that in Jesus' life. How that the Spirit of God moved Joseph down into Egypt. And so really from the beginning, our life is fragile. There was one on the news this morning, maybe you saw it, where a couple had lost their infant son because the daycare was medicating the children with Benadryl to get them to sleep. And so their infant son had died, and they were trying to blow the trumpet and warn against these kind of things that happen. So life is fragile. Well, it was fragile for Moses in the third chapter of the book of Exodus. And here, God's got his hand. I like that song they were singing. God's got his hand in it from the start. Because nobody knows more about that than Moses did, even before Moses knew it. See, we can look back and see the hand of God. And the song says, the hand of God in all my life I see. And Moses right here from the beginning, of course, the ultimatum was out. The Hebrew boys are to be put to death. And so the midwives fear God and they wouldn't pay him any mind. And Moses' mama brings forth and she won't pay him any attention. The second chapter, did I say the third? The second chapter of the book of Exodus. And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. Well, all mamas think their babies are goodly, don't they? But she sees something. Mama Moses sees something in Moses that's a little unusual. And God's got his hand in the midst. And the word said, when she saw him, she hid him for 3 months. And while she's waiting, the word said she's hid him as long as she could hide him. She could hide him no more. See, this is what we're talking about, hearing God and being available to God. This is the big part of ministry. How do I minister? I make myself available to the Lord. And so we don't want to be so busy we can't hear him and spend time with him and we tune him out and we got so much going in the background we can't hear God. She's hid him as long as she can hide him, doing all that she can do, and she done it by faith. See, those that believe God operate by faith principles, don't they? And she's operating that way, and when she could no longer do it, the word said she took and made him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. That word means to know. She wanted to know what's going to be done with baby brother Moses. Now we don't know how much older Miriam was. She's a young lady. We got that. And so we know the space between Aaron and Moses was 3 years, but we don't know about the older sister Miriam. And so she's over there watching. I'm kind of picturing her up in the pivot heads watching. And so maybe she'll go get a sandwich and come back and watch what's going to happen to Moses. May the hand of God be upon Moses. And the word said this, that when she stood afar off to watch, and the daughter of Pharaoh come down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked alongside by the riverside. You can imagine those maidens were probably some of the prime select young ladies in all of Egypt. I doubt there was any in there that would brought shame to the daughter of Pharaoh. And so there's got to be a little bit of fear in Miriam's heart when she feels inclined of God. This is what obeying the Lord is, isn't it? It's being inclined unto God and being inclined by God. We were saying something about this at the prison the other night. And so we know what it is to recline, but God wants us to know how to incline. That's to lean forward, not back. Leaning forward to hear him. And now it's her time. It's her opportunity to hear God. And she's either going to do one or two things. She's going to hit it or she's going to miss it. And so there's got to be a little anxiety in her heart, a young lady approaching all of these beautiful young lasses that belong to the daughter of Pharaoh. Can't you get this scene? And so how does she approach them but by faith? How does she even dare come up to Pharaoh's daughter but by faith? And so she's a little Hebrew. And listen, we'd break this down and say she's a little slave girl. How could she dare? She's even got no business looking across the river, much less thinking about approaching the daughter of Pharaoh. But she did. She obeyed him. And when she opened it and saw the child, the word said she had compassion on him. Pharaoh's daughter said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, verse 6, and then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? You know, Pharaoh's daughter didn't know that was mama. No, but God did, didn't he?
Yes, man.
And Miriam knew.
Yeah.
And it's her time to obey God. And she said, yes, go call. And she went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Can you see the hand of God in it? Not only does Moses' mama get to raise her own baby at a time when he ought to be put to death, but thank God she's going to get paid to do it. And little old Miriam is just obeying the Lord. That's all she's doing. What's it mean to be able to minister? It's like the young lad. It's like the young girl. And she obeyed him. And the word said, the woman took the child, nursed it. The child grew and brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And so what happened? Take him. And the woman took the child. And she said, I will give thee thy wages. What a thrill. You know, we see it in other people's life, but I'm going to say something about Miriam. No wonder God called Miriam the prophetess in the 15th chapter, the 20th verse. And brother, she could play the tambourine, the little timbrel, and she knowed how to dance before God. I believe she danced many a time when the Lord spared Moses. And I believe this, that when God called Moses some 80 years later, Miriam said, I knew it was for such a time as this, and I waited a long time to see it, but now God's about to bring his people out, and what a thrill. God allowed me to be a little part of what he's doing. That's what ministry is. That's what it is. Well, we could read about another lady if we got time to talk about her over in 1 Samuel 25 by the name of Abigail. Abigail, here's a good way to keep your life headed the right direction. Don't ever marry a Nabal. This is no time to elbow your husband or look funny at your wife. But never marry a Nabal. Abigail's got into a bad marriage. And so here, God's hand of deliverance is all in her life. And we know the story without taking time to read it all. David's servants are out there. And Brother Billy, they are hungry. I mean, they're needing something to eat. And they're needing it now. David, if you recall, is in flight from Saul. He's running from Saul. And not running out of fear, but running out of respect. He had opportunity to kill him. David was much more the man of war than Saul was. He had opportunity after opportunity. But he honored God. And he stayed out of the way. And it come a time when they're hungry. And here, Nabal, which means churlish, the fool. Never yoke yourself up to him that's a fool. Stay out of the business. It's the best way to make sure you have a great marriage. Don't marry a fool. Right there from the Word of God. That's free of charge, marriage counseling. Don't do it. And so Abigail can attest to it. And watch now, as the Lord is moving in her life, and she's come to a crossroad, and those servants of David have been shamed and sent away, and the Word said David was angered by this. And David had sent to this man for help. He had humbled himself to ask help of Nabal. They were hungry. And so here, they humbled themselves, and Nabal's turned them away. And he said this, shall I take, watch now, here's the problem of Nabal, if you want to see one of them, in the 11th verse, 1 Samuel 25, shall I then take my bread, and my water, and my flesh? Do you see the problem? It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. He's got the I, me, and my syndrome. Everything's his. And he said, shall I take it and give it to him? And he said, him that I know not. So they returned their way, verse 12, went again and came and told all those sayings. And David was angry. And he girded up his sword. But I'm going to tell you, you don't want to be on the opposite side of the fence when David girds up his sword. Bad things are about to happen. And so the mighty man of war, and he said to the 400 that went with him, and to the 200 that abode by the stuff, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, how do I make a difference? How can I be the virtuous woman? How can I be a part of God's ministry? And you're going to see it in this great story. It's simply being sensitive to God and knowing who you represent. And so here, watch it, as she's warned, and they told, these men were very good to us, and as long as they stayed by us, this is what the shepherds are telling Miss Abigail, boss lady's wife. As long as they were nearby, we were protected. There's protection around God's people. And so it's why we must stay near. And so he said, none of these bad things happened. They were a wall, verse 16, they were a wall unto us, both by night and day. And all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. I'm going to tell you, a servant gave her a wise word of warning. And she heeded that word. Do you see it? It's not only being available to God, but it's being able to hear the word of warning when God sends it to us. Listen, it doesn't matter what that young man's telling you. If God gives you a word of warning, you ought to hear it and receive it and be so in tune with God, nothing gets by us. We can hear His voice, that still small voice that God speaks to us by, and hear what happened. Brother, she has awakened herself, and God has encouraged her. And quickly she calls for the servants. And do you see the 18th verse? She made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs. I'm going to tell you, that'll get you a favor right there, won't it? When they bring an old fig cake. Y'all don't eat figs, do you? Anybody? Huh? Eat them off the tree? It's fig time, Brother Billy. We'll slip around them old yards where there ain't nobody. And sometimes the old little lady on the porch, I'll ask her, I say, reckon I can get a few of them figs? Get all you want. Now, I don't want them the ants has done had or the flies is sitting on. But if the rain's washed them or we got an old water keg, I want a handful of them figs. And Abigail has found favor. Brother Larry relate this. He's found favor. She's found favor. She sent some fig cakes and bunches of raisins and laid them on the asses. And she sent all she's got, the best she's got, she sent it, and she said, go on before. But she told not her husband Nabal. Wise move. He's a fool, remember? She's harnessed up, unequally yoked with the fool, and it's caused havoc in her life. And it's almost cost her life, hadn't it? Outside of God's mercy, it would have cost her life. David's on the way with his sword girded on. And she didn't tell her husband, but she rode on and she came. And David's saying, he's mumbling under his breath. I always picture this scene. Watch what David's saying. I've got a little Yosemite Sam about him now. He's got his guns girded on. And Yosemite Sam was always mumbling under his breath. And David's doing that a little bit. And he said, I was good to that fella. And surely in vain, I've kept all he had in the wilderness. Nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he's requited me evil for good. So more also, God do unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. God said, every man child of Nabal shall be a dead man by daybreak. And hardship's on the way for Abigail, and she's entreated him, and Abigail saw him, and she hasted. If we're going to be effective for God, we got to hear him, but we also got to be humble to be used of him. If we watch what this world does, MTV, what society says, our hearts will become so full of pride, we won't hear wisdom, and we can't be used. We'll give ourselves over to flesh and sin and Satan, and we'll miss the will of God, and the very one that could entreat God for her family, for her home. It wasn't him. He's drunk. It's not him. He's given the wine. It's Abigail. And she said, I'll be entreated. She made haste and fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord. See the humility of her heart. I pray thee, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. David said, unless God had done this, surely evil would have come But watch now. The Lord, 26, said, the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself and thine own hand. And let not thine enemies, as they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing, I want to tell you, God can take our curse and change it to a blessing.
Amen.
It don't matter what's happened in the past. Those things that haunt us, those things that we say we can never get behind, God can.
Yes.
God turned her curse into a blessing.
Amen.
God changed her situation and took the fool and gave her a king. And so we see it right here. I pray thee, forgive the trespass. You got to get this story. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. Abigail's talking about David. And David's God's man. And go down a little bit and you'll see. Watch in the last part of 31. And when these things happen, when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, Abigail saying, then remember thine handmaid. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And so here, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back, David's talking, God's kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me. Do you see it, church? There's no time for delay.
Amen.
There's no time. Listen, we don't have time for a week of camp meeting and all night prayer vigils. It's now. It's hearing God now, going now, being where God wants us now. And she's there. She's in that place. And she could have said, my husband's a fool. He's got no sense. And that's why I'm where I'm at. There's no time for that. We don't want to avoid those situations, not get in them. But when we find ourselves there, we can't control what happens to people, our mate, through our lifespan. And so if they go the evil way, we have to stay even closer to God. And Abigail said, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. So David received of her hand. I'm scanning through. And you know the story. Nabal's heart was made merry with wine. And brother, these things happened in the morning. She shared as God had spared their family. And the Lord, we know, smote him and he died. And God's doing something on the other end of that, isn't he?
Yep.
I know this ain't a pleasant thought. But God's getting Nabal out of the way. Because not only is he going to bless Abigail with the king, he's going to bless David with a wife. And we know that David returned and Abigail became his wife. And so what a blessing. And we see it, the hand of God, the song says, in all my life I see. Well, we see it in the last instance. And we're not going to take time to read a lot of text, but go over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we're going to close up with this thought. But I pray God give you this. Because of what our past may hold, it has no bearing on our future.
Amen.
We watch a little lady in the early chapters of the book of Joshua. As those spies came in, we find one by the name of Rahab the harlot. And we also find that God has sent the spies, particularly by her house. I don't believe that's an accident, do you? How many people in the city of Jericho is going to receive these spies? How many of them have the heart? How many of them have the faith? Most would have turned them away. But God knew about one by the name of Rahab. And the word said that she perished not, Hebrews 11, in the 31st verse. She perished not with them that believe not. And so what happened? The word said, for she had received the spies with peace. And then James weighs in on this a little bit and says that Rahab was justified by works. Watch now. This is what we're talking about. Our faith always produces works in our life. We see it in Miriam. Her faith to believe God that somehow she was going to spare Moses, and she didn't know how, but she's watching and waiting. And here Abigail, she knows God's going to be merciful somehow, so she's up and about God's business and appealing to David and supplying the need and waiting on God's mercy. And brother, here's Rahab. She perished not with them that believed not. That whole city went down, and we don't find of any that God spared, but Rahab and her home. What a thrill. Not only did she make a difference in her life, but the life of her family. And you know what happened? When the Lord saved me, I suppose I was the first one that I know about in my family that was saved. My crowd came out of the Latter-day Saint stuff. I have no confidence in that. But I'm talking about beside that, I don't know of anyone. Maybe some way before I was born, I never knew. But you know what happened? Since then, we've watched those that God saved. And you know, I just believe that Rahab put her past behind her. And she's effective for God. Even so, you say, well, you got no witness of that, do we not? Is Rahab the harlot not in the lineage of the Lord Jesus? Yes. Brother, she didn't just believe God when the spies were in town. She believed God when the spies were gone and the city was gone and the children of Israel were fighting the battles and taking over the land of Canaan. She believed God even then. And she perished not with them that believe not. And what's that say? We can make a difference. We can make a difference. God's not so concerned about our past, but He's real concerned about our future. Is that right? Brother, when God saves us, it's a brand new start. You say, well, I'm still dwelling on those things. He's not. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us, bless God. He didn't say He removed them from Himself. He's removed them from us, Brother Ike. We're the ones still thinking about them. God's not studying on them. He's cast them in the sea of God's forgetfulness as we stand. Never to be remembered anymore. Brother Ike's coming. Closing out the service. Let's be special for God. Let's be ready. Let's be waiting. Let's be able to hear Him when He speaks.